Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 23. The Reverend Doug Gribenaugh is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. We now join the live service.
A reading from the Gospel of St. Mark in chapter 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple, began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this gospel retelling, we are approaching the absolute pinnacle of human history, the axis upon which everything turns, the death and resurrection of God. And that's the context, really, for what we are seeing here, the anchor of our understanding. Our Lord enters Jerusalem to the shouts and the cries and the joy and the excitement. The outer trappings are astounding. But forget not that our Lord knows what is in the heart, what is in the mind. He knows what is to come. He who wins for us redemption, life everlasting, the forgiveness of sins, comes to the place where God's grace and mercy was to be found, was to be proclaimed not just to the Jewish people, not just to Israel, but to all nations. The cleansing of the temple was nestled in between this strange episode of the fig tree. It bookends it. If you have a Lutheran study Bible, perhaps your eyes will open as you read in the comment below an enacted prophecy. That is what this fig tree is called, foreshadowing the judgment that God will visit upon unbelievers. Now consider also the words of the prophet Micah in chapter 4. What this temple was to point to, what we will have in our Lord ascending the cross. In chapter 4, Micah writes, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide disputes with strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. And no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." Emmanuel, God with us, comes to his temple, prophesied and foretold by Isaiah in chapter 56, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 7, "Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it." And so our Lord does. And that question he asks in the Gospel of St. Luke, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And he comes to that fig tree with its leaves glistening in the sun, the trappings that say it is fruitful and healthy and good. Will he find the fruit of faith upon it? This second temple was filled with vain worship. Worse still, the temple and the worship that was taking place there was abused. Abused by idolaters and the lovers of mammon. Now, in fact, the actual service that these money changers and these pigeon sellers were performing was a good and laudable one, if it had been done in the service and the love of the neighbor. But it was abused, it was twisted, and done for the love of money. Because of the various currencies around in the world, one needed to exchange it for a currency that did not have the pagan image upon it. Whether or not that was right or wrong, it does at least show us the strict adherence that the priests, the Pharisees, had in their practices. And likewise, worshippers traveling from afar would find it challenging, if maybe not even impossible, to transport the animals for sacrifice with them, and so they could purchase them there as well. Again, laudable, helpful, beneficial, had it been done for the love of the neighbor, instead of the love of money with the gouging, the horrible exchange rates. The money changers, the sellers, slaves of mammon, lovers of money, haters of their neighbor. Earlier in the Gospel of St. Mark, in chapter 7, our Lord observes, Well, did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites? It is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The fig tree with its leaves and its lack of fruit. The peoples in the house of the Lord, with their lack of mercy, with their lack of love. It's a strange and curious interplay of faith and works taking place. And as we know, faith must have an object. And if that object is not the one true living God, that faith is as good as dead. Any works that come from it are, well, filthy rags. But works, good, God-pleasing works, these are the natural progression of true faith. The faith that believes in, to the one true living God. And St. Paul is right to say, one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And St. James is also right to say, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The fig tree and the temple, like the branches and the vine. I think of our Lord's declaration in John chapter 15, the proper understanding of this faith and this works playing and working together. Hear his words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Our works, our activities in the temple of the Lord, in his house, in his place of grace and mercy and forgiveness. All the works, no matter how good and wondrous they are in the eyes of the world or in our own eyes, those works themselves will never make us Christian. You're like the leaves in the fig tree that is fruitless. Our branches remain dead. For it is only in being grafted into the true vine, into Christ, that we are made alive. For his Holy Spirit now flows through and into and out of our hands and our walk. Faith lays hold of Christ, the one whom the people have rejected. Faith is the branch grasping into the vine to receive the quickening Spirit, the helper who guides us in our walk of faith, and the good works, the fruit of that faith, will be found on our branches. For it is not from us, it is not from outside, but it flows to us from Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. For he shall come as a thief in the night. And may our branches not be adorned with fruitless leaves, holding fast to the one true living God, grafted into his Son, our Lord. May our branches bear that fruit for the love of neighbor and for the love of God. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.